Hi, this is Chris Devoto with NASCAR on NBC, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN.
WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue and on the line with us. She is your pre- and post-race host on NBC, as well as host of NASCAR America on NBCSN. And although she has been part of great broadcasts for the PGA, MLB, NFL, and more, it is for her 16 years covering NASCAR on network television that her fans know and love her best. The one and only Chris Devoto, welcome to WGN.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. It's great to have you on the line. It's great to have NBC covering the great world of NASCAR and racing. And as NASCAR moves to Watkins Glen, it is a challenge, not only for the drivers, they'll be the first to tell you that, but I wanted to know, as someone who's got such a longstanding history covering racing and all those different venues, and we say all the time that tracks are as big as stars as the driver, what kind of challenges from a broadcast perspective and the team and the coverage does a place like Watkins Glen pose?
Well, I think for anyone, you know, whether you're one of the drivers, the crew members, or like you said, for us on the broadcast, you know, sports is all about rhythm, and you get into sort of a routine. You know, baseball players are used to taking batting practice at a certain time, and you know what you need to do when and which day of the week. So anything that's different from that routine just sort of throws off your whole rhythm, and I think that's what road course racing does. You know, there are drivers who specialize in it or who have become very good at it. But the bottom line is, it's something completely out of your normal Friday, Saturday, Sunday routine. The crew members will pit the car differently. The drivers obviously have to turn right and left the way they hit their marks. And the same with us. You know, the way your eyes are used to seeing a track or what you're used to talking about, you know, sort of just gets a little bit of it amps up a little bit. So we love it. I think road course racing has become, in NASCAR, some of the best races. You know, we've seen tempers. You know, used to always be the short tracks where you saw guys, you know, maybe you know, develop rivalries or get mad at each other. That's kind of become the road courses. So I'm not saying that's why I look forward to it, but it definitely, you see the passion that the drivers have when they're out there. And the last couple of years, it's been some fantastic racing. Not to mention, the fans are phenomenal up there. Upstate New York is gorgeous. The fans come out, they camp all weekend. It's a really cool atmosphere, and hopefully we're delivering that to folks when they tune into the broadcast.
Yeah, anytime you can get kind of out of the norm and you get in some of those places that are not only great racing venues, but also just kind of beautiful places in nature, I think it's really cool. I think probably part of maybe some of the driver's way to address it when you're in such a busy schedule, it's, you know, it's race, 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 and it's move, 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 is maybe through some of the simulators. I know this is a crazy thing to say, but do you guys, is there any kind of way that you guys either practice or kind of get ready for something? Because it isn't this kind of thing that you deal with on a regular basis from the broadcast side to get that rhythm, or do you just wait, you know, half a dozen, you know, laps into it, you've got it down?
Yeah, I would say a little bit twofold. You know, we have a simulator within NBC Sports. It's not, now trust me, I'm not the one in it. Nobody wants to see that. I'm definitely not a gamer, but reporters who loves road course racing, he'll do a couple of segments throughout the course of the week to just kind of, you know, get the fans ready. And I think that in turn gets all of us ready in the sense that we're asking different questions. We're seeing what a driver sees when they're out there. So, you know, we already have had, Sonoma one road course, and for the Xfinity Series, which is, you know, obviously kind of the next step down, or we call it, you know, the minor league, but let me tell you, it's major competition. It is a fantastic series. They're road course racing 3 of the 4 weeks in August. So we'll get a lot of practice doing it there as well. And for me, you know, it's funny because I'm talking to you and, you know, your fans and listeners in Chicago. For me growing up, I grew up in the Quad Cities on the other side of the river in Iowa. Every major sporting event I went to as a kid was Chicago. I mean, it was, you know, it was Cubs games. It was, I mean, I was there in the city 8888 for the first night game. I didn't have tickets, but I was there, you know, within Wrigley Field. So when I think Chicago, I think of my childhood, especially when it comes to sports.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's great. Okay. So, you know, having that affinity for Cubs, and I know we've got so many friends and fans and listeners that, you know, as far as WGN, the signal's very big. And with the superstation on TV with the Cubs, there's tons of Cub fans. Well, your childhood was just, you know, awash with disappointment. Well, your adulthood now, the Cubs are good, right? So hopefully at some point, maybe when the Chicagoland race, you'll get a chance to head out to Wrigley and check that out as well. I wanted to ask you this, and this is something that's really interesting. You've had such a long history broadcasting racing, being a professional broadcaster, all those different sports, but specifically racing. And in the studio, you guys have an on track. You know, you've got a great team with Steve Letarte. You've got Kyle Petty, Dale Jarrett, Jeff Burton. You've got great guys, but none of them have had like a tremendous amount of success on the road course. Do you feel like this is the time when you really need to step up, because they don't have a lot of maybe positive input to share?
Oh my gosh, talk about putting on the pressure. Yeah, it's just, you know what makes it fun is they're all so humble. You know, I sit next to a Petty and a Jarrett every weekend and talk about NASCAR. I mean, my worst day at work is still pretty good. So, but they are both so humble in the fact that, you know, yeah, Dale, I'm so sure sometime this week we'll talk about, you know, where he went off the course in a certain practice, and Kyle, they're just so, they're so humble, even though they're some of the best at what they did. So it's a lot of fun. We have so, I mean, I hope, everybody, people always tell me that they'll always say, you guys look like you're having so much fun on the broadcast. And I'm like, well, that's not a secret. Like, that's truly how we are. We enjoy each other's company. We enjoy talking about the sport and just having fun with it. So hopefully that's what people take away, and hopefully that's why people like watching.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely comes through. You can tell when people are having a good time. You got people who love the sport, have lived the sport, and people who've covered the sport and love it as well. You mentioned Xfinity, and you mentioned the minor leagues, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. As somebody who's covered and watched the sport race in and race out for a number of years, what are your thoughts on NASCAR's new position on limiting the races for the Truck Series and Xfinity for the Cup drivers? You know, you've got, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? Because you're going to limit some of the biggest names out there that people go to see while you try to make some new big names, right?
Right. And I applaud what NASCAR is doing, because I think there does have to be some limits. I mean, I was actually okay with the limits that were set previously. You know, we already have limits on it. What they've done is just, you know, sort of taken that up a notch. I think it's 10 now. It's going to be 7 next year, if I have those numbers correct. So I was fine with the limits that were already set. I was a huge fan of that. I think as a driver, William Byron will tell you he likes racing against the Brad Keselowskis and Kyle Busch, because if you beat them, you know, when he beat Kyle, it means you've done something. You know, you want to beat the best, and that's how you learn. You know, if you're watching where Kyle Busch runs on the track, you're learning something. I think anyone who's an athlete of any sport wants to compete against the very best. But at the same time, that series, the whole point of that series is to make new stars. You know, you have to have new names to move up. So I understand what NASCAR is doing. I actually was fine with the previous limitations. I think those were working. But the end of the day, it's trying to make the best product, trying to put on the best show for the fans, and be fair to everyone involved.
Last time that I got a chance to talk to Kyle Petty, you know, it was that thought process of how do you break into this sport? It's one of those where, you know, you can have an extended career, and it's one of those also, too, that it's not always, there isn't always a direct path. You can't go out for it in high school or, you know, or however you would normally do it. And so it's kind of neat to see them creating these opportunities. It'll remain to be seen if they can make stars out of these guys quickly, you know, but I guess it remains to be seen.
Yeah, it is different. You know, it's definitely not a mainstream sport. I always say, you know, if you tune into a football game, you don't necessarily have to be a huge football fan to be able to follow the action and know what's going on. Two teams are taking each other on and trying to score a goal. NASCAR can be confusing to new fans, you know, the point system, or, you know, what lap are they on, or why is there a rule of coming, you know, you're speeding on pit road. Aren't you supposed to be speeding? You're supposed to go fast. You know, there's all these sort of nuances of the sport that I think hopefully we are explaining. But the bottom line is it's talent, but it's also money. You know, it's a business. And a lot of times in recent years, if a young driver has a connection to money, they're going to get a chance because it's an expensive sport to be in. Right. But you still, if that's how the door gets opened, you still have to be able to keep yourself in the door with talent. So it's definitely sort of a high wire act, if you will, in terms of how you get involved. Drivers are starting a lot younger. You know, Dale Jarrett started when he was a lot older than, so these kids are starting at 12, 13 years old in different sorts of smaller series. And in a NASCAR, in a truck series, you can drive a truck. If it's a short track, you can drive a truck at 16.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's a different world, and you're seeing them trying to kind of, and you mentioned it, right? It is that fine line you've got to walk. It's a kind of a tightrope thing where you've got the entire business side, and it is probably more business than any other major sport. And then you've got trying to satisfy the fans, and you've got all of these young drivers that you know are the future of the sport, and they want to give them sort of a place at the table. You mentioned some of the other sports, and of course, want to let the listeners know we're talking with Chris Devoda. She is NBC NASCAR superstar, and she is going to be calling the race on Sunday over there at Watkins Glen. But you never stop. You mentioned the other sports. When it comes to racing, here on this show, we talk about kind of those bucket list road trip events, whether it's the Kentucky Derby or you know, the Daytona 500, Indianapolis 500, or any of those major Triple Crown races. And here you are, you're doing horse racing. Now, is it anything racing they say call Krista, or is do you love horse racing? And what's the difference? Because you have, you know, with NASCAR, you've got such an extended period of time, and horse racing, it's just this kind of, you know, fast burst.
I feel like they just look into my background and find that I have a lot of speeding tickets, and for some reason that equates to me doing racing. No, I'm just, it's funny. I'm probably a more cautious driver than I should be. But I covered horse racing when I worked in Lexington. I was a local sports reporter in Lexington years ago. So I did cover it, but this was my first year for NBC covering it. So it had been 15 years, I think, since I had been at the Derby, but I was able to cover the Triple Crown, and I'll be covering some of the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series races for NBC, including later today on NBC. So I'm double-dipping this weekend. I'm in Saratoga for the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series, the Whitney, on NBC today, and then I will drive this evening to Watkins Glen to host a pre-race show tomorrow at, I believe, 1 o'clock. On NBCSN.
Krista, it is the broadcasting equivalent of when you'd have Tony Stewart, you know, race the Indianapolis 500 and
right.
Fly to Coca-Cola 600. It's the same thing.
Except without, I don't have the private plane. The only thing I'm missing is that, yeah, I'm still going to make a fuel stop along the way, but...
You're doing it old school for sure. You're going to be driving. You mentioned speeding tickets along the way. One thing we always do on this program, whether it's, you know, celebrities of note, drivers, TV stars, whoever it is we ask about their first car. Now, you've obviously had a long time connection to the sport, had up close and personal with a lot of really great cars, fast cars, people who love and know great cars. But for your first car, what was it?
Oh, my gosh. So this brings back memories, thinking of my childhood again. So it was a 1980 bright, like electric blue Chevette. And it did not have an FM radio. And I told my dad I needed an FM radio because, I mean, heaven forbid I'm driving. And, you know, in Iowa, you get a learner's permit at 14. So I was driving that car at 14. And he said I did not need an FM radio because WGN is all I should need.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, we hear you. And definitely I agree with you there. But you had the Chevette, which was a testament to safety and economic fiduciary.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then, but you had the electric blue, so it had a little bit of sportiness to it.
Oh, I like to think so, but let's be honest, Dane, it was not a cool car. But looking back, I mean, it's just funny because I see 16-year-olds now driving like way fancy. I mean, there's a freedom that comes with driving a little bit of a beat-up car. So I like to think that it gave me character.
Right. Oh, right. It gives you a little bit of grounding for your roots where people are going to enjoy what it is that you're doing as you do everything later on today with the Breeders' Cup. And then you're going to be on the road making a pit stop heading to Watkins Glen to cover the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup. So, Krista, before we let you go, we know it's going to be NBC, so that's great. But as far as you personally, people want to catch up with all your adventures and see everything, is there some social media or website?
Yeah, on Twitter, Krista Voda, and on Instagram, Krista.Voda. And usually my pictures or my posts have something to do with 80s hairband music. So it's not always racing. Sometimes I'm really into, I basically never left the Slaughter Trickster Firehouse concerts I went to as a high schooler.
Slaughter Trickster Firehouse. Oh, that's crazy. Okay, good. Understood. And so when you hear the loud music and you see the Chevette, you know that Krista can't be far behind.
There you go.
Thanks so much for what you're doing. We're going to love watching you in all of those different venues. And thanks for being on WGN today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Dane.